is doing something wonderful in Logan City. And God's doing something wonderful in the house in Logan City today. So let's stand up and welcome Aaron Salisbury and the word that he's carrying. He always carries a good word, and he's a good man. So we bless you, Aaron.
Hallelujah. Amen, amen. Can we give a hand to the worship team? How many felt this morning was just wonderful? Praise the Lord. God is so good. Well, we are in an unprecedented time. God is doing some fresh things, and he's challenging us into some fresh areas. And what I like to do before I bring the word, or before I know I'm going to speak, is I say, Lord, is there something special that you want to do in the house? Is there something, is there someone? And I'm going to put on the ice skates right now, go for a bit of a skate. So I might crash through the ice, but let's go there anyways. Here's the request. Here's what I felt the Lord was saying. Is there someone in the house right now who needs to get pregnant? Is anyone out there longing for a child but is unable to have a child? Anyone at all? I know this is a keep skating. Yeah, I'm going to. Yeah, I know this is a embarrassing thing, but I believe the power of God is here to heal. The power of God is here to answer request. Is there anyone? I know this is a tough one because it's embarrassing, and maybe you're living in a place of embarrassment because that prayer has not been answered. But I believe God is faithful. Is there anyone? You have to be married, by the way, in case you're wondering. That is a biblical prerequisite. So you need to be married. But is there anyone here this morning? And that's you. All right, let's move on. A few weeks ago, I preached a message on Elisha and Elijah, or Elijah and Elisha. And what motivated this message is really a follow-on from that message. And I don't know how many of you were here on the 8th of October when Pastor Ezekiel preached. Was anyone here? And he kept making a statement, and I believe sometimes repetition is a good thing because it helps us to really lock on to the point. He kept making the statement. He kept saying, a shift is coming, a shift is coming, a shift is coming. And then he said it again and again and again. And as he said that, it burned into my spirit. A shift is coming. So I've really pressed into that and said, Lord, what does that shift look like? What does that mean for us as a church? And I'd just like to recap what I spoke about last time just for a moment, because what I talked about was found in 2 Kings chapter 2, where Elisha was offered by his spiritual father a shift. You see, Elisha could stay back in the times when God moved, because there were a couple of things that were, a couple of places that were really powerful in terms of Israel's history. Elijah said to Elisha, you can stay here in Bethel, you can stay here in Jericho, or you can move on. The whole idea was, Elijah said to Elisha, you can stay in what God did, or you can move into what God is doing. I just want to recap from last time I spoke. There were several places that they visited. One was Gilgal, which means rolling together or uniting with God. Gilgal was the place where the children of Israel were instructed to take stones out of the middle of the River Jordan and to make a memorial, to make a place of remembrance to God, where Israel crossed over the Jordan River on dry land. And then they went on to Bethel, and Elijah said to Elisha, do you want to stay here? stay here because I'm going on. And Elisha said, no, I'm going on too. I'm not staying here. Bethel means house of God. House of God is a great place to stay because it was the place in Genesis chapter 12, verse 7, where God appeared to Abraham and promised he would give to Abraham's descendants the land. The word appeared here means actually that God physically appeared. There was what's called a theophany, a pre-New Testament appearance of Jesus. And at Bethel was the first place that Abraham built an altar to the Lord. And in Genesis 28:18, right there in Bethel, Jacob had that powerful vision of the ladder that was extended to heaven, and the angels ascended and descended on that ladder. So Bethel was a powerful place for the people of Israel, a place where the Lord had manifested. And then they went on to Jericho. Elijah and Elisha journeyed on to Jericho. And Jericho, as we know, was another place where the Lord manifested powerfully. It's interesting, the word Jericho actually is derived from a Canaanite word, reh, which means fragrant. Now, the walls of Jericho were massive. They were, as I shared last time, they were so wide that two chariots could go across the top of them. They were so powerful. They represented an impenetrable place in the Old Testament. The wall was so huge, so imposing, but God caused that wall to come down. And he caused that wall to come down. It wasn't through force, it wasn't through engineering, it wasn't through the cleverness of man. How did that wall come down? It came down through worship. It came down through worship. There's something pretty powerful there, I reckon. And then Jordan means to flow down. This was the place they went on to. Jordan was the location where God continually demonstrated his power and demonstrated his goodness. The water repeatedly parted there. So what's the point? There are places in our lives where God moves significantly. And the temptation is to set up camp in those places and not move on and move into. Whether it's Gilgal, Bethel, Jericho, or Jordan, they're all places where God manifests powerfully for us. But the lesson here is when God moves powerfully in and through your life, make a memorial. Yes, make a memory. That's very important. Those things are important to give reference to. But once you've done that, once you've made the memorial, move on. It is time to shift from what God did into what God is doing. And what is God doing in this hour right now? Well, what God is doing is we can look at the life of Elisha and see what happened. Because you see, Elisha said, I'm going to stay with you, Elijah. I want to stay with what God is doing. And then Elijah said, well, what do you want? And Elisha said, I want the double portion. Oh, the double portion. That, man, that's a powerful thing that he asked for. But before we go into the double portion, in 1 Kings chapter 18, I want you to turn there because I want you to know that I'm preaching from the Word of God here, not first imaginations. In 1 Kings chapter 18, Elijah calls down fire from heaven, which consumed that water-soaked altar and the bull sacrifice. Then he led the entire nation, the whole nation of Israel, into a God encounter. He destroyed the 450 prophets of Baal. Then he prayed, and the drought broke. Oh, and then it gets even more fun. He outran the chariot of Ahab. And here's the thing. He ran a distance of 50 kilometers ahead of the chariot. That's how powerful it was. How many believe that's a pretty good afternoon at the office? Elijah was onto something. But then in 1 Kings 19, verses 1 to 5, I want you to see this. I'm going to read it to you. 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 1. And Ahab told Jezebel, this is King Ahab, all that Elijah had done. He was testifying. also how he had executed all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a message to Elijah saying, "So let the gods do to me, and more also, if I do not make your life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time." And when he saw that, he arose, and Elijah ran for his life. And he went to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and he left his servant there. But when he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a broom tree, and he prayed that he might die. Anyone ever been there? Just, Lord, and what did he say? He said, "Lord, it is enough." We've just been singing, "Lord, you're more than enough." But Elijah was saying, it's enough. I'm done. Now, Lord, take my life, for I'm no better than my father's. So that is the context. That is the background to which Elijah said, "I want the double portion." Now, I want to just unpack this whole double portion for a moment. Why did Elijah want the double portion? Did he want to be greater than Elijah? Did Elisha want to have a big name, his name on a plaque? Did he want to be, you know, awarded and applauded, rewarded and applauded for, you know, all that he had done? No, he wanted the double portion because he wanted to see Queen Jezebel destroyed. He wanted also to be free of depression. And also he wanted to live in community. He realized that he couldn't do what he needed to do on his own. He wanted to live in community. Now, Elisha at least did receive the double portion. Why do we know that? Because the Word of God says that and records the fact that he actually achieved or performed double the number of miracles that Elijah did. He saw Jezebel destroyed. You can read about that in 2 Kings chapter 9. Elisha never suffered from depression, and he lived his entire life and ministry in community. What's the point? Elisha wanted to be an overcomer. Elisha wanted to be an overcomer. That's why he wanted the double portion. He wanted to overcome where Elijah did not. And this is the challenge because, you know, we can live a life that is so full of power and the miracles, but I believe we are in a season now where it's time to overcome. It is time to overcome all that stuff that is holding us back. You see, Elisha demonstrates something to us. He foreshadowed the overcoming life that is part of the New Testament Spirit-filled believer, which is you and I. You see, here in Rivers Apostolic Community, we are in Area 51. We've just celebrated this year our Jubilee, which was in October, the end of October. Let me get my dates right. End of September, early October. We celebrated the time of Jubilee. We are in the time of Jubilee. But now we've moved on from that. We are now in Area 51. We are in Year 51. That is gone. We're into the new. But here's the thing. Have you ever heard messages about revival? We need revival. We need the kingdom to come. But has anyone ever explained what that looks like? Am I talking to somebody right here? You know, have you ever been to a meeting where, oh, revival is coming. This is coming. This is coming. And we get all excited about what is coming, but no one actually explains what it looks like when it comes. And I believe, God, this is what we need to look at this morning, is what does it look like when it comes? What is that all about? Well, I believe it is the time of double portion. God is going to be pouring out upon us a double portion. But what does that look like? Well, let me describe it like this. The number 51 is very powerful in the scriptures. 51 appears again and again. And Psalm 51 is one of the most heart-wrenching and contrite songs of all of Scripture. It's profound. And its author, King David, wrote it shortly after he was confronted by the prophet Nathan because of his adultery with Bathsheba. And I just want to read two verses. David says, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the greatness of your compassion. Blot out my transgression and wash me thoroughly and cleanse me from my sin." 51 is a time where we go deeper. 51 is a time of the double portion. But you see, what I'm wanting to get across this morning is 51 at Easter. The double portion is not about having double power. Oh, yes, it is about having double the power, but double the power to go deeper. Double the power to access the areas of our lives that have never, ever been touched. You see, God is after our all. Jesus gave everything on the cross. He could not have given anything more. He laid it all down. But what he's saying to you and I is actually, are you ready to lay it all down? Because of the example that Jesus set. It says in verse 51, here's another 51 of Matthew 27. It talks about one of the most unique and miraculous events that took place in the entire Bible. This actually took place in Jerusalem, in the temple. This event is also recorded in Mark 15:38, Luke 23:45, and John 19:38. I want to read it to you from the book of Matthew. "And after crying out again with a loud voice, Jesus yielded up his spirit. Then suddenly the veil of the temple was ripped in two from top to bottom, and the earth shook and the rocks split." You see, the veil of the temple, right after Jesus died, was ripped in two from top to bottom. The veil which hung between the Holy of Holies and the holy place in the temple, it measured 30 by 60 feet. It had a thickness between 4 to 6 inches. And in the tearing by the hand of God, it symbolized something. It symbolized that Jesus' death made possible direct access to the Father. So Area 51, this time that we're in right now, what does it mean? Well, I want to suggest to you, it means a season of brutal honesty and gut-wrenching repentance, which gives us unprecedented access. It gives us two things: unprecedented access of the Father and to the Father. See, it's one thing to have unprecedented access to the Father, but does the Father have unprecedented access to you? It's getting kind of quiet. Hallelujah. I believe the Father is looking for unprecedented access to us. Why? Because Area 51 is an invitation. It's an invitation. You see, you are invited to ask the Lord Jesus Christ. You're invited to say this: "Lord Jesus, I give you unprecedented access to me." See, invitation means, "Lord, I choose. And the only thing motivating me is my absolute desire that Father God has unprecedented access to me." And as I said before, Jesus Christ first gave everything. He showed us the way. He said, "This is how you get access to the Father." Now he asks for my everything. Dietrich Bonhoeffer said this. He said, "To encounter God is to change." People run around and say, "Well, I encountered God. God did this for me. God did that for me." How do we know what they're saying is valid? We know what they're saying is valid if they change. You see, if you say God is showing up for you, what's changing? Are you changing? Because to see him is to be like him. And this is the challenge. We need to find God. And as we find God, we need to change. What I'm trying to get across this morning is The double portion is not about trying harder. And this is a challenge because I believe as I was preparing this message this morning that many of you are tempted to try harder, to, you know, do better than yesterday, to be, you know, to put more effort in, because that way, you know, God is going to be pleased. But I believe the double portion goes much deeper than that. See, it's great to perform miracles. It's great to move in signs and wonders. It's great to have words of knowledge. And I want to say all those things are immense and necessary and powerful. But the double portion is allowing the Spirit of God to go deeper, to go doubly deeper than he's ever gone before. Because you see, the more access the Father has to your heart, the more he can do. You see, this is the thing. I believe many this morning, you've got some walls up. Oh, yes, you believe in Jesus. You can sing the songs. God is real to you. You've been to Gilgal. You've been to Bethel. You've been to Jericho. You know, you've been to Jordan. You've been to all those places, and you've seen God do good things. But there's still some walls. And Area 51 is about gut-wrenching repentance. It's saying, I am going to choose to give the Father greater access. Access in ways I've never given the Father before. You say, wow, that sounds pretty vulnerable. Absolutely. Because I believe the more vulnerable we get, the more the Father has access to all that we are. You see, the way forward, I believe, is not by it's not by stressing. It's not by trying. The way forward is deeper. It's letting the Father get deep, deep down, deeper into those places nobody's ever had access before. It's like Psalm 51, Lord, against you, and you only have I sinned. David just, you know, he just vomits out all of his iniquity. He just says, Lord, take me, wash me. Do whatever you need to do to me, because, Lord, I want that fellowship with you restored. I want all of you inside of me. And this is the challenge for us this morning. Lord, I want to give you all. That is a challenge. I want us to stand this morning. Can we all stand right across this place? Can we bow our heads? Because I believe the Lord wants to do something very powerful this morning. He wants to really go after our hearts. And just while our heads are bowed, what I really sense this morning is the Lord is challenging every single person in this place. And the challenge is this: where are the walls? Where is the unbelief? Where are the places where you're not trusting me? Where are the barriers between you and I? And I believe God wants to pour out the double portion. I believe that's what we're in right now. We are in Area 51. Amen. But the thing is, the double portion is not so you can look good in front of everybody else. The double portion is so the Lord can go deeper. And he can access those areas in your life and in my life that have not been touched. Oh, yeah. As I say those words, I can just feel the swirl in the heavenlies right now. Oh, God is here to do business with his people. I believe that. But I want to emphasize that this morning is an invitation. It's not, I'm going to go up the front and sort my stuff out because the person next to me is. It's like, I'm going up, Lord, because yes, I do want the double portion. Because if the Spirit of God and the Father God has access to areas in your life that he's never had access before, he's going to do that immeasurably abundantly above all you can think, ask, and imagine. Hallelujah. Because you see, here's the point. Jesus has done everything. But have you done everything? Or is there something you're holding back? So I'm going to ask Andrew just to lead us quietly in a time of worship, in a song of worship. And Andrew, I just thank the Lord for you, because as you worship, the walls come down. Hallelujah. If worship can bring Jericho down, the walls in our hearts can come down as we worship. But here's the thing.